All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 6. Of course, we find the context of Elisha spoiling the efforts of the king of Assyria and his intended raids upon Israel. And the king of Syria thought for sure that he had a traitor within his midst that was telling Israel when to abandon a certain spot so they would be gone when the Syrian soldiers would come. And finally, they figured out it was Elisha. And his servant said to the king of Syria, you know, Elisha knows what you're saying even in your bedroom. And so they decided they were going to take care of Elisha. And in that context, verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dotham. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and encompassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, and host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When the servant of Elisha saw the host, what was he filled with? Fear. He was filled with fear. Elisha said to him, fear not. One of the greatest enemies of the people of God is fear. One of the greatest enemies of the people of God is fear. One of the greatest tools of the devil is fear. Remember one time, not too long ago, I was talking to Mrs. Wright, and her husband was the junior high principal in Mequonago for many years, 25, 30 years. And of course, that was a little ways back. And so she's real familiar with the community. She drives, stills driving bus, and be sure to be praying for her that she recover from ankle break. She'll be back in church. But we are having a senior citizens Bible study, and I said to Mrs. Wright, you know, we're trying to get this Bible study going in the high school, and, you know, we're just really having a difficult time getting anybody to come. And I said to her, what do you think is the reason? And in a moment of time, she had no hesitation. She said, fear. They're all afraid of what their friends will say if they go to that Bible study. And they will risk the truth. They'll risk their eternity. They won't give a thought to going to that Bible study because of a paralyzing, soul-captivating, devil-using principle, fear. And isn't it the very thing that the devil uses in our lives? We're afraid what someone's going to say. We're afraid what they will think. If we pass them a gospel tract, we're afraid of being rejected by people. fear, the fear of rejection. You know, most people fear, most of the things that people fear will never happen. But fear will keep them paralyzed for most of their life. If we could say any reason that people don't witness for the Lord, you'd have to say that right on top of the list, fear. And fear is such a huge tool of the devil. Young people, why won't young people take a stand for Christ? Tell you, they are afraid. They're afraid. Fear has paralyzed them. And we look at this passage of Scripture, you can almost see the servant of Elisha. Desperate, huh? Right? Master, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of here? We're surrounded. No escape. We're dead. If you think about this problem of fear, we see some principles here. First of all, fear is focusing on the physical, and the temporal. Fear is focusing on the physical and the temporal. Now, he saw something. It was real. He saw the armies of the Syrians. I mean, they were real. They were, that was a great host. They weren't BB gun warriors. This is a real army. And they were surrounding the city. They had horses. They had chariots. They saw him. And fear focuses on the physical. That's what the fear focuses on. Jesus said, fear not them that can kill the body. Fear not them that can kill the body. Fear him that can kill the body, and how does that go? And cast the soul into hell. What does that say? Cast both soul and body in hell. Fear him. The one has control over your soul. But you know what? Our fear is focused on what we see. Men's voices, men's thoughts. It is amazing how much rejection has a hold, the fear of rejection has a hold on people. Secondly, we have to say fear paralyzes. It takes away our strength. It paralyzes people. You know, I'm not really good at heights. But heights can be a real paralyzing thing. I can remember just kind of getting on a roof, you know, and just kind of moving real slow and just going real slow and taking baby steps, you know, like 3 inches and holding on for life, you know, and accomplishing nothing. And then you see, someone who's not afraid of the heights, they're up on that roof and they're walking around and they're accomplishing something and they're getting the job done. And I mean, it's the same roof they have, you know, that you're walking on, but you're doing nothing. You're paralyzed. But they're getting something accomplished. And if you've ever been in that place where, you know, like in that place where that fear kind of grips you, you just can't hardly move. You know what I mean? It's just like paralysis, you know. And in fact, Sammy Tippett, in his book, Set Fire to Your Heart, he talks about how he was afraid of heights, and he was in East Germany. And he was spending some time with some converts, converts from the Communist Youth Festival. And they said, hey, there's this mountain. Let's go take a hike. And it's no problem. It's safe. And so they got going up this not a real mountain, but, you know, close to it. And they got about 50 feet from the top. And he was the last one in line. And, you know, it was just a magnificent view for miles. You could see one country, one direction, another country, another direction. And he got up there and he looked around and he grabbed the rock. He couldn't move. He was so afraid of the height that his friend came down and he says, come on, Sammy. I mean, we only got 50 feet to go. And come on. And Sammy says to him, I can't move. I can't move. And he says, I just can't move. And he says, come on, they're going to all laugh at you, American, you know. And it didn't do any good. And the whole crowd comes down and says, okay, it's starting to rain. We got to get down. We're going to be sliding down this mountain. He says, I can't move. I can't move. And literally two of them had to pry his arms off of the rock and literally carry him on their shoulders down the mountain because he had been paralyzed by fear. And when fear takes over, you can't do anything. You don't think rightly. You can't act right. You're just paralyzed. And you've been there. The Lord says, pass out that track. And guess what? I can't. No. Paralyzed spiritually. You think, oh, they won't want it. Oh, what are they going to say? You know what I mean? Oh, especially if it's somebody you know, right? Third thing about fear is fear will take us out of the will of God. Think of the people of Israel in Numbers 13. God said, go into the land of Kadesh Barnea. They sent the spies. They walked the land for 40 days to see that it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And they came back. And Joshua and Caleb had a good report, but the 10 other leaders, they weren't just anybody. They were leaders of their tribe. These men came back paralyzed by fear, didn't they? And they said, and God said, go into the land. That was the will of God. And Joshua says, God will surely give it to us. He said he would. And they said, we can't. We can't. Certainly. Something bad's going to happen to us. Something's going to happen to our wives, our children. I mean, we can't do it. One reason. Fear, wasn't it? Fear. Fear is a terrible tool of the devil to keep people out of the will of God. That's why people are afraid to obey God. That's why people are afraid to witness. That's why people are afraid to surrender their life to full-time service. That's why people are afraid to change their lifestyle. Fear. fear. The servant of the Lord was full of fear. But Elisha says, verse 16, and he answered, "Fear not! They that are with us are more than they which be with them." You know, faith is the antidote to fear. Faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the spiritual. Fear sees the physical. Faith sees the invisible. Now the servant didn't see them, but they were there, weren't they? There were the chariots of fire. The horsemen of the Lord camped all around them. David Livingstone went to the interior of Africa on this promise. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Lo, I am with you. The promise of God's presence for anyone who will take seriously the command of God to reach that every generation must reach the whole world with the gospel in their lifetime. He went where? To plow the path to the interior of Africa. Many times he would stop his journey. One time, as they were headed into area with vicious, violent, cannibal tribe. No white man had ever been there. And the black, the people of Africa, feared to go there themselves. And they said, sir, we must stop. And he went to his tent, as he often would do, opened his Bible, looked at the promise of God, renewed his faith in God's promises, came to the natives who were accompanying him and said, "It'll be all right. We'll go on. God has said, I will be with thee till the end of the age." And they went forward. You see, faith sees the invisible. Faith claims the promises of God. Faith sees that the hand of God is far stronger than the mere forces of human beings. One of the great famous Baptists of Germany was a man by the name of Johann Anken. And he was a German young man, raised by his grandmother, went to Scotland as a 9-year-old boy, eventually was saved, heard the gospel and was saved, and in the 1830s went back to Germany. And in the 1830s, the whole continent of Europe was almost without any Bible-believing Baptist witness of any kind. It was a desolate field of unsaved people. And Johann Anken went and, make the long story short, went there. Eventually, he embraced Baptist principles and was baptized. And he and his associates I think established in his lifetime somewhere around, hundreds and hundreds of churches and 1,500 Sunday schools, and passed out tens of thousands of tracts, won tens of thousands of people to Christ. William Wagner, speaking of Johann Ancken, said, Johann Ancken's success was such that soon the civil authorities attempted to stop him. But he always seemed to find a way around their restrictions. The police chief told Ancken, as long as I can lift this little finger, you will feel the force of it. To which Ancken is reported to have replied with characteristic courage, I believe you do not see what I see. You see only your arm. But I am not looking at that. I see a greater arm, and that is the arm of God. So long as that arm moves, you will never silence me. Eventually, the chief of police ceased his opposition. A man who saw that the hand of God is stronger. Fear keeps us from the will of God. Fear keeps us from trusting and experiencing the strong arm of God. On the other hand, faith allows us to enjoy God's sweet fellowship even in persecution. Thinking of a couple verses, think of what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Notice, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, I want to know what it is. I want to have that sweet fellowship, with intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ that only can come in the hour of suffering. Think of what it says in Matthew chapter 5. Those great verses. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed is the man that is persecuted. Blessed is the man that is persecuted. Isn't that what we are afraid of? Isn't that what we are afraid of here? Someone rejecting us and mocking us and ridiculing us? Isn't that what we're afraid of? But the Bible says, blessed is the man when men shall revile you and persecute you. And I think of that verse in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Verse 40. Of course, the disciples were before the Jewish leaders. And in verse 40, it says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now think of the contrast. Fear. Dread. Ugh. Oh, no! Never! I want to face that. Rejection. Mocking. The disciples. Hey!
Praise the Lord! We're counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. What delightful fellowship with our Lord! What a contrast. The difference between human fear, the paralysis of fear, the unbelief of fear, versus the joy of faith, of trusting God, of seeing the arm that is invisible, walking in his sight, being more concerned about what he thinks than what man thinks. What a difference. If we could get to that place where we could cast out fear, the paralysis, the unbelief of fear, the fear of rejection, the fear of man, the fear of the words, or even the persecution of the lost, and get in that place of fellowship with our Savior and rejoice to walk with Him and to do His will and to put our lives in His hand. What a delightful picture of people being able to serve the Lord as we ought. I wonder tonight, I have no doubt that everybody in this building has that same experience of fear. There's not a one of us. We can let fear destroy our life. We can let fear keep us from God's will. We can let fear and the fear of sinful, perishing man, rather than being filled with compassion and burden for them and their need of the gospel, being paralyzed by being afraid of their rejection. How do we overcome fear? Faith overcomes fear. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The power of the Holy Spirit helps us overcome fear. And they prayed, Lord, fill us with boldness to preach your word. The Spirit of God can help us overcome our fears. Compassion can help us overcome our fears. He saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. You know, fear really is selfish, isn't it? Compassion is others-centered and Christ-centered. As you go this week, even today, even tonight, wherever you might go, we're going to be faced with the possibility of the paralyzing peril of fear. Or we can have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps tonight, the Lord has encouraged you, maybe even challenged you, convicted you about how fear has become a defeating power in your life.
Bible has that remedy. I think it's humbling to admit it, isn't it? It's humbling to admit that we are many, many times. What man wants to admit, I am paralyzed by fear? You know, what man wants to admit, I'm, you know, the real truth is, I'm afraid what people will say. I'm afraid of rejection. But there's only one person that we ought to be afraid of, and that's the Lord Jesus. Displeasing Him. We should be afraid not of doing the will of God. We should be afraid of leaving the will of God. We shouldn't fear man that has a little wimpy arm. We should trust a God who has an all-powerful arm and is there to strengthen us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to be challenged from your word about the very reality of fear in our lives and how, Lord, it is almost embarrassing for us to admit how we are so quickly afraid about the most foolish things. Afraid to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. Afraid to pass out a tract. How much more so afraid of being different. How much more so about the fear of doing the will of God, of the unknown, but perfectly safe in your arms and in your will. So, Lord, use your word tonight to help, to encourage, to challenge, to bring us, Lord, to a place of understanding and a place of turning to you in faith. And so, Lord, work in our midst while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. And you can say, yes, that's really a real part of my life, just fear. And it has kept you, how many times it's kept me, from being what ought to be for God. Maybe you're a young person here tonight, and you know what? You are basing your whole life on what some other young person says about you rather than God. That's the most important thing in your life. You're afraid of what somebody might say. Another teenager. How foolish. Fear has paralyzed you of the most insignificant kind. We're afraid of the person at the cash register. We're afraid of a relative that we should instead love. Say, night, the Lord is speaking to my heart about overcoming fear. And that is a real reality. And God is speaking to my heart tonight about learning to trust Him, looking to Him, relying upon Him, not looking at man, but looking at the eternal arm of God instead. And say, God has spoken my heart tonight about that. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Many hands. Praise the Lord. Okay. Maybe it's the will of God. Maybe you're afraid of surrendering your life to the Lord. Oh, you ought to be afraid of not surrendering your life to the Lord. Not doing the will of God. You're afraid of what it might cost you. Oh, you should be afraid of what it will cost you if you don't do the will of God. God is speaking to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, God is speaking to my heart about surrendering my life to God's will. Pray for me. God is speaking about surrendering my life to the will of God. Pray for me, anyone tonight. Raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to me about the will of God. Okay? Amen. All right? Others, that's right. Lord, now I pray that you would work in hearts. Help us to really allow you to work in our hearts in these last moments of putting these truths to action in our lives. I pray that you would give grace, Lord, to your people, that, Lord, we would find victory over fear in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen.